This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate Education Committee will come to order. Good morning. Welcome. Also want to greet the internet listeners. Thank you for listening. Quick reminder, make sure you have all your cell phones turned off or and any electronic equipment. Secretary, may call the roll, please.
Senator Gray.
Here.
Dursted.
Here.
Nesselhoff. Olson.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Knudsen.
Here.
Garnas.
Here. We have a quorum with a majority of the members elect present. Chair will entertain a motion for approval of minutes.
So moved. Second.
It has been moved by Senator Gray, seconded by Senator Knudsen. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The minutes are approved. I want to welcome the two pages that we have here today, Allison Pierce from Pierre. Welcome. We're glad you're here. And Susanna Kochek from Scotland. Great to see you. Quick reminder, make sure if you testify, make sure you sign in. There is a handout sheet at the back podium to sign in, please. And if you have anything that you need to hand out, make sure you give that to us, and we will help you with that. When you come up to testify, make sure you identify yourself and who you are representing, and make sure that all the questions go through the committee chair. That would be greatly appreciated. Senate committee, today on the agenda, we have two confirmations, and then we have Senate Bill 38, which we've had discussion on, which we will also hear today. But first up is the confirmation of Kelly Duncan to the South Dakota Board of Education. Good morning, Secretary Oster.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is a reappointment of Dr. Duncan. She is a resident of Dakota Dunes. She's an assistant professor at the University of South Dakota. Prior to that, she was an assistant professor at Northern State. And she serves as the chairman on the Board of Education.
Thank you, Secretary Oster. Any questions on the reappointment of Kelly Duncan? Any questions for the Secretary? Thank you, Secretary. Committee, we are to the point where we need a vote. Does the Senate advise and consent to the executive appointment?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
I would move that we advise and consent to the appointment of Kelly Duncan to the Board of Education.
Is there a second? It has been moved by Senator Gray, seconded by Senator Peterson, to advise and consent of the executive appointment of Kelly Duncan to the South Dakota Board of Regents. Any further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Gray.
Aye.
Dursted.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Knudsen.
Aye.
Garnas. Aye. Having received the majority of the vote, Kelly Duncan is confirmed to the South Dakota Board of Education. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Next up on the agenda is the confirmation of Melanie Satchel to the Board of Regents. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm just fine. Yourself?
Good. Thank you. What we'd like to do is just if you want to explain a little bit about your background, a little bit
sure.
about yourself, and we may have a question or two for you.
I'd love to. Thank you. My name is Melanie Satchel, and I am a student at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology in Rapid City. I am an interdisciplinary science student there, and I'm specializing in science, technology, and society. I actually grew up by Pleasantdale, Nebraska on a farm, and much unlike most of your upbringing, I grew up feeding bottle calves and, feeding the cows in the morning. I have 9 siblings. I have 7 sisters and 2 brothers, so we grew up in quite a household, but I really did enjoy that. I have a fairly diverse background and upbringing, I guess. I was actually homeschooled until the 5th grade, in the 5th grade I attended a one-room school. And then in high school, I attended a public high school. So then I came on to South Dakota, and I was involved with the student government. I was student body president or student association president last year, and so I stand before you today to be appointed to the Board of Regents.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Melanie? Sure. Senator Gray.
Melanie, welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Traditionally, at least it's been my experience, the few regents, student regents that I've known have really been a pretty strong, independent voice around all these, adults,
yes.
Professionals, if you will. Are you confident and comfortable that you'll be able to do that?
Thank you for the question. I am very confident and comfortable with that. I have done my best and have tried my hardest to be very loud and very forward with a lot of the things that I are very educated in and feel very comfortable expressing my opinion. And a lot of the things that I have come forward with deal with general education requirements and mobile computing, along with various other things. But I do try to give the rest of the board the perspective from the student. And, you know, I try to give Harvey as hard a time as possible.
Senator Gray.
No, I'm ready to make a motion.
Senator
Gerstadt. Melanie, terrific to meet you this morning, and your enthusiasm and energy is wonderful to witness. Just wondering, it sounds like you have a fairly good sense of the border regions already, but do you have any changes that you would like to see made in the regional system, any direction, any vision for the future?
Thank you for the question. That's a very good question, by the way. In the hard times that you're all aware that we're in, it's really important to get back to our roots and remember our basic principles, our basic identity of, you know, creating a workforce and also with the governor's direction, a knowledge-based economy. And so I really hope to work with the regents in order to move our regional system further on and progress in that direction. I don't really have any specifics to offer you, but as I was appointed at the end of June, and since then I'd like to think that I've been able to offer a more modern perspective in terms of where we should be moving with technology and how students really do feel about their collegiate career and the hopes and aspirations that they have in order for the regents to accomplish what they hope to through the students' eyes. So I hope that answers your question.
Follow-up, Senator Gerstadt.
Yeah, that's an excellent answer. Maybe to drill down a little more specifically, one of my concerns going forward is the cost of higher education. And I want all the students, certainly in South Dakota and the surrounding areas too, to be able to afford. And I'm very interested in the scholarship/loan program going forward that would enable students to access higher education. Do you have any thoughts about that or experiences or stories to tell?
That's an excellent question. And I guess coming from Nebraska, I pay 150% tuition, out-of-state tuition. And so affordability is one of my main concerns when I look at higher education. And for the natives of South Dakota, it's been a wonderful chance for them to get the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship. Last year, I worked and testified with the Student Federation in order to try to beef that up and try to allow more students to qualify for that based on credit hours and whatnot. That's one of the areas which really needs some more work, some more identification in terms of funding. But there are a lot of things that the regions have to pay attention to. There are needs in terms of financing for utilities and making sure that the campuses can keep their lights on and what have you. But affordability is one of my greatest concerns, and I don't necessarily have any grand ideas in terms of how to do that, but I think there's a lot of things that the campuses need to really look inside and say, what is of value? What can we trim down in order to stay, you know, because in our region we are one of the most affordable education systems. So,
thank you. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, it's refreshing to start the day with a bright, articulate young person like you.
Thank you.
And I hope you stay in South Dakota for a long time. You know that the current Senate Minority Leader was a student region at one time.
Yes,
so we look forward to seeing you out here. The question that I have, do you plan on being a vocal advocate for the students' interests on the border regions?
Thank you for the question. I do. I was a little bit surprised with the not necessarily surprised, but very encouraged by the greeting that I got from the rest of the regents when I was appointed, because I consider myself a little bit of a thorn in their side when I was student body president, just because I was always, you know, constantly knocking on their doors saying, well, what are we doing with this and how can we change this? And so I really look forward to maybe not being such a pain, but still coming up with the same kind of concerns. And I think you'll be encouraged to hear that the Student Federation does their fair share. So.
Any further questions from the committee? Thank you, Melanie,
Thank you very much.
Chair closes the public hearing on the confirmation of Melanie Satchel to the board, State Board of Regents. Chair would entertain a motion. It has been, or Senator Durstead.
Yes, I would move that we accept Melanie application or whatever, advise and consent for the position on the Board of Regents.
Thank you. It has been moved by Senator Gerstad, seconded by Senator Gray, to advise and consent to the executive appointment of Melanie Satchel to the State Board of Regents. Any further comment? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll, please.
Senator Gray?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Aye. Having received a majority vote of the members elect, Melanie Satchel, congratulations as your appointment to the State Board of Regents. I think we're very fortunate to have you. Very good. Education Committee, moving on here, we will now go on to further business. And Melanie, thank you for taking the time to come in. You made a great impression here. Bills for possible action which have had prior hearing, Senate Bill 38. We have had a prior hearing on this. I believe there is an amendment to this, and Senate Bill 38 is a requires school districts to keep contiguous boundaries when reorganizing. Again, this is brought by the committee to the Committee on Education at the request of the Department of Education. Any proponents? Good morning again, Secretary Oster.
Good morning.
We'll have a little flexibility here. We'll speak to the amendment, and I want to make sure all committee members do have the amendment to the bill.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Pages, do you want to help him hand out a few of those? I think. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As the page is handing those out, we worked with the Associated School Boards on this, and for the most part, this is their language. They're the ones that had the concern that we needed to have some criteria involved if we were going to have an exception available, and so this is the criteria that was come up with. And, of course, we tried to make it as inclusive as possible to come up with any scenario that could possibly make sense in this situation. All we're trying to do with the original bill and this amendment is to protect the schools of South Dakota and the taxpayers of South Dakota from a very nonsensical consolidation and or dissolve an attachment. There are good, compelling reasons why two districts might want to consolidate or dissolve and attach that are not contiguous, and hopefully those are all addressed in these areas. But there also are some situations where I think we would all agree that just absolutely make no sense. And I know that some of you thought that my example of the Hurley attaching, dissolving and attaching to Rapid City maybe didn't make a whole lot of sense, but you could certainly see where districts across the state would do this if they were very small and try to dissolve and attach with each other to circumvent other rules. So, again, prior to 2001, this was the law, and I did do some checking in the 60s when reorganization took place on a grand scale. School districts were required to be contiguous. And so if a farmer had a quarter of land or a section of land and he wanted it in a particular school district, he had to work with his neighbors to make sure that the land in between was contiguous to keep uniformity. So With that, I would take any questions.
Okay. From the committee, are there any questions for the Secretary at the current time? Senator Gierstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning. I'm wondering, in terms of this particular bill, is it based and built around a particular situation and school system rather than something that's, you know, going to be going forward? It's just something that you saw as a grand need? A secondary question is, how many consolidations in the past, say, 4 or 5 years have had a consideration like this?
Mr. Chairman, no, I don't see this as a grand problem, and I don't. It's not geared after anything that happened, even the Cologne Wood consolidation that was approved here recently, which is not a contiguous district. The Winter School District lies in between Cologne and Wood, and that one was approved. The concern has arisen with, frankly, the 100 and below bill brought into light a lot of questions as to how we were doing business and whether we were legally able to force districts to follow certain rules. The dissolve and attach is probably a bigger issue than the actual consolidation or reorganization under consolidation. The department for years has treated dissolve and attach as a large minor boundary change. I know that's a contradiction in terms, but that's the way they've always viewed it, and we have told school districts that if you're going to dissolve and attach, then that is a large minor boundary change, and the law says that in a boundary change, it has to be contiguous. But if there was litigation on whether dissolve and attach was in fact a reorganization and not a boundary change, now there would not be the requirement under current law that they be contiguous. So I honestly look at this as cleanup language, so there is no question as to what the rules are. But I also see a very compelling reason to have exceptions in there so that if it makes good sense, like many cases the Cologne Wood one did, that an exception can be made. But again, I think we need to protect everyone so that we don't have a situation where we have a East River School District dissolving and attaching with a West River School District, or a North and a South School District attaching for no good reason other than to try and circumvent rules and or attach themselves to a district that simply has a low tax base. They know that their district will no longer exist, and they want to get into a so it just, I think it's a common sense bill. It's not following and frankly, I've visited with a lot of superintendents in the smaller districts. They don't have a problem with this. You know, to my knowledge, there will be nobody testifying against this today. So, and if there is, you know, I'll be proven wrong.
Senator Gierstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up, I'm just wondering if this law is necessary. Well, why would we have this particular law? And what do the local schools think about it? I have to tell you that I have a bias towards local control. I feel like each individual school district has individual needs and concerns, community concerns. The local people have tax concerns. And I want to, you know, make sure that they have a strong voice in determining their future.
Mr. Chairman, great point, and I couldn't agree with you more. The concern I have here is that when there's a dissolve and attach, the district that gets attached to has no voice. They are not allowed to vote. So what can happen is you can have one district leech on to another district, and the district that's being attached to has no vote. And the second part of it would be that, yes, we need local control. For as long as we can see back into our history, the law and the rules were you had to be contiguous. In the 60s, when we had the massive reorganization in South Dakota, you had to be contiguous. It's only been since 2001 that was changed. And it was changed for a school district, in fact, where it made great sense to not be contiguous. And so that's why I think this is ideal. It says that basically you need to be contiguous, but if it makes good sense, then an exception can be made. So I think this actually does protect taxpayers because, again, I can't stress enough that the district that gets attached to does not get a voice in the process.
Any further questions? And I know I did a little out of the ordinary today. Generally, we'll do proponents, opponents, but this bill had been heard before. But at this point, if there are no other questions right now for Secretary Oster, are there any further proponents of Senate Bill 38 with the amendment? Any further proponents? Seeing no further proponents. Yes, I think we do have a proponent. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Wayne Leaders. I'm executive director with the Associated School Boards. We have been working with the department to provide criteria. The concern we had earlier was there was no criteria attached to the particular bill. I believe the criteria that were presented are all-inclusive and broad-ranging and should provide direction if districts do need to come together and not be contiguous. Our association supports voluntary reorganizations with the vote of the people from both school districts. This is primarily looking at reorganizations. We were not addressing the issue of dissolving and attaching, but more so from the standpoint of two districts coming together. And to respond to the question, we've had two in the last 2 years. Pollock and Mobridge were not contiguous districts. It did reorganize together. There's a little sliver of land between the two. And Wood and Colom also are in this. How much it'll be used in the future, we don't know, but we see an advantage. We would encourage districts to be contiguous when they would reorganize. But this does give local control questions an opportunity to come together, even if they are not contiguous for some reason, and allows the department to provide some direction in that area. So we would be in support of this amendment to this bill.
Thank you very much. Any further proponents? Any further proponents, Senate Bill 38? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 38? Any opponents? Once again, seeing none. Committee, do you have any questions before we close it to public comment? Any questions? Okay. Chair closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 38, and it's open to committee discussion and or action. Remember, we do have an amendment that is hanging out there. Senator Gray.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think this amendment's good. It allows some flexibility out there, but I would share with the committee something that happened in my district, and I feel like I can talk about it because it is my school districts in this legislative district. A couple years ago, Harold was going through trying to find a partner to reorganize with, and they had looked at Pier, and they had looked at Highmore, and they looked at Agar, Blount, Oneida, all which adjoin, all which would make more sense than the one they came to, Stanley County. And I don't know my geography all that well, but I suppose it's 40 miles between Fort Pier and Harold. The Stanley County voters rejected that handily. Now, I will admit that if you look at the boundaries, and I don't have them in front of me, there may be something on the river down south that actually adjoins. I don't recall. But it just didn't make sense. And fortunately, the local voters in Stanley County rejected it. Harold ultimately got it right and went with Highmore, which is about 15 miles away from them. And so they did get it right to their credit. But why they would drive through the southern part of Agar Blount Oneida District, drive through the Pier District, and ultimately end up in Stanley County made no sense at all. You would have had two patchworks of land on top of everything. So I think this law is necessary. I think the amendment makes it better to give the secretary some discretion. And the first thing I do is move the amendment.
The motion before the committee is by Senator Gray to move the amendment, which is 38CA, and it's been seconded by Senator Knutson. And reminder, committee, on this, we just need a voice vote. Any other discussion on that, the amendment 38CA? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate Bill 38 has been amended with 38CA. That puts us back or brings us to the point. Is there any further discussion on the amended bill?
Chairman.
Senator Knutson.
Mr. Chairman, while I think the bill has been properly cleaned up, I think that it makes sense to have a general rule that you want contiguous boundaries. That obviously is going to make sense 90 to 99% of the time. The bill does now give us the flexibility to take care of special circumstances, so I would move a due pass.
It has been moved by Senator Knutson, seconded by Senator Gray, a due pass motion on the amended bill. Any further discussion on that? Seeing no further discussion, once again, the motion is to do pass motion on the amended bill, Senate Bill 38. Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Senator Gray? Thurston?
Aye.
Esselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
Carnos?
Aye. Having received a majority vote of the members elect, Senate Bill 38, the amended version passes. Moving on to next order of business. First of all, leave your binders here. We will have a full agenda come Thursday at 7:45, and the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
It has been moved by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Gray. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank